we've been saying this morning, but what also I want to say in our series at the moment. Now, for anybody who's got a roast in the oven, you better hope that it doesn't go too badly off, because we'll be slightly over here this morning. I just want to pray and ask for God's blessing. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for the Spirit of God being here in our midst this morning, for the opportunity to praise and worship you, Lord God, to learn even at the start the new song with the children, Lord, and just knowing that you are here. Mm-hmm. How wonderful it is, Lord God, to bless you. And we pray, Lord, that as the Spirit of God continues with us, that you would help us to really grasp what has already been spoken about, the unity in the Spirit of God. In Jesus' name. Amen. As we are continuing our teaching and learning cycle from the Apostles' Creed, we're looking at the moment the subject, I believe in the Holy Catholic Church, and what it means for Christians on our path to victory. And last week Keith showed us the foundation of the church when Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do men say I am?" And then he went on, "Who do you say I am?" And Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God," to which Jesus responded, "My Father has revealed this to you. And upon this rock," speaking, Jesus speaking of himself, speaking of Peter's confession that he was saying, "You are the Messiah, you are the anointed one of God, you are the Christ." Jesus says, "My Father's revealed this to you, and upon that truth, I will build my church." Upon me, Jesus says, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." The church, or the Latin word ecclesia, it means a called out people, a collection of called out people brought together in Jesus Christ for the glory of God. It is a universal Catholic, that's what it means. It's not saying we believe in the Roman Catholic Church. It's saying we are the Greek Catholic Church. It's saying we believe in the universal, the Catholic called out people from every nation, tribe and tongue, which together in love seeks to serve the Lord. You see, Jesus, the Messiah, our Lord and Savior, what we call, or whom we call our Lord and Savior, is the very foundation of the church. He is the rock upon which it is built. In other words, without Jesus, there is no Christian church. I need to put it better. Without the Jesus as revealed to us by the Holy Spirit through the Word of God, there is no Christian church, because there's plenty of Jesuses, even in Bangor. There's Jesus at the top of the Skipperstone Road, but it's not the Jesus of the Bible. There's Jesus in Clifton Road, but it's not the Jesus of the Bible. Without the Jesus of the Bible, without the revelation of the Spirit of God, of Jesus, the Son of God, there is no Christian church. In fact, the Apostle Paul uses another analogy when he speaks of the church as a body. It's a body made up of many individual members, of which Jesus is the head. And as members of the church, as born again believers in Jesus, we are committed to one another and committed together to serve the Lord to the glory of God. And that's what I want to expand this morning just briefly. But we need to turn to the word in John chapter 17. And I'm going to be reading this quite fast. John chapter 17, and then we'll be going to 1 Corinthians 12. John chapter 17, verse 1. Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you. For I have given to them the words which you have given me, and they have received them and have known surely that I came forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours, and all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Verse 20. I do not pray for these alone. This is us he's about to talk about. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one. And then in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 to 14, Paul writes, for as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greek, whether slaves or free, and all have been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. You see, I think if the Apostle Paul was with us today, he would probably use the video from the Lion King that we just watched to teach us a truth about the church. Now, I know when I went over it during the week, I know that not all the lyrics in the Lion King song are biblically or doctrinally correct, but much of the song's sentiment is very true. As you go through life, you'll see there is so much that we don't understand. And the only thing we know is things don't always go the way we planned. But you'll see every day that we'll never turn away when it seems all your dreams come undone. We will stand by your side, filled with hope and filled with pride. We are more than we are. We are one. Even those who are gone are with us as we go on. Your journey has only begun. Tears of pain, tears of joy. One thing nothing can destroy is our pride deep inside. We are one. We are one, you and I. We are like the earth and sky, one family under the sun. All the wisdom to lead, all the courage that you need, you will find when you see we are one. We are more than we are. We are one. It made me think of the Three Musketeers, all for one and one for all. And in his prayer, Jesus asked his Father to keep, and he's talking here to watch over, to protect and preserve those whom he had given to him. Now here's the interesting thing that we just read over and we miss. We were God's first. We were God's first, and he gave us to Jesus. And Jesus says, will you keep, will you watch over, will you protect, will you preserve those that you have given me, that they all may be one? Three times in his prayer he mentions that they all may be one. And Jesus asks that all whom the Father gives him be one, just as he and the Father are one. This collection of called out people from every nation, tribe and tongue, the church given to Jesus by the Father, are many, and yet we are one. You see, the church is a people called by God through Jesus into a covenant relationship with him, and God expects unity among his people. Jesus wants his people to be one, as he and the Father are one. We are more than we are. We are one. I believe in the Holy Catholic Church. That's not just a statement of the Apostles' Creed. That's me telling you this morning, I believe in the Holy Catholic Church. Firstly, the church is holy. It has to be holy because we are in Christ, in Jesus, and Jesus is holy. Secondly, the church is Catholic. It means universal, worldwide, consisting of people from every nation under the sun. Jesus, before he went up to heaven, said to his disciples, go into all the world and preach the gospel, so that people from every nation, tribe, and tongue will hear the gospel, respond, and be saved. And so the church is Catholic. It's universal. Thirdly, the church, the word means a called out people, called out of the world and into the family of God. Now, although we live here, Jesus himself said, although you are in the world, you are not of the world. We are otherworldly. We belong to another world. And the thing about that is, there are no second-class citizens in the Church of Jesus Christ. No. See, people who sit and think, oh, God hasn't got anything for me to do, and everybody seems to be, and I've got nothing. There are no second-class citizens in the Church of Jesus Christ. The Church is holy. The Church is universal worldwide, consisting of people from every nation, tribe, and tongue. It's a called-out, separated people called by God to serve. There are no second-class citizens. You know, when Moses led the people of Israel out of Egypt, they sinned against the Lord by worshipping a golden calf, an idol. And having come down from the mountain where he had received God's commandments, Moses was absolutely outraged at what had happened. And eventually God spoke to him, and it was a serious, serious message. And imagine if God said this about us. Eventually God spoke to Moses and told him, look, you take the people on up to the promised land, but I'm not going with you. And he said, because I might destroy them because of their sin. I'm not going with you. Imagine if God said, go ahead there. Go ahead in your Christian life. Go ahead on your journey through life. I ain't going with you. I wonder how you'd feel. Listen to what Moses said in Exodus chapter 33, verse 12. Then Moses said to the Lord, see, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me your way, that I may know you, and that I may find grace in your sight, and consider that this nation is your people. And God said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. And then he said to him, if your presence does not go with us, this is Moses speaking, if your presence does not go with us, well then don't bring us up from here. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are on the face of the earth. So the Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. And Moses said, please show me your glory. If God didn't go with the people of Israel to the promised land, well then Moses didn't want to go either. In fact, he said, well then we're not going. Don't take any of us up. Moses realized that if God didn't go with them, and here's the key, if God didn't go with them, they would be no different than any other people. It was vital that God went with them, because as Moses said, how could we be separate? How could we be set apart from all the people on the face of the earth if God did not go with them. And the Good News Version says it much better when it says it this way. What else will distinguish me and your people from all the people on the face of the earth? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? You see, that's really interesting. You see, what distinguishes Christians from all other people on the face of the earth is that God is with us. The unbelieving world doesn't have God because they don't know him. The fact that God is with us, with Christians, distinguishes us from everyone else. A second distinguishing mark is that we are one. Doesn't matter whether we're a Christian here in Shiloh Christian Fellowship on the Skipper Stone Road or we're a Christian in Outer Mongolia this morning. We are one. What distinguishes us is God is with us and we are one. We have one faith. We are baptized into one church through one Lord, and we have one Holy Spirit dwelling in us and with us. We are one family. We are one separated, called out people seeking together in love to serve the Lord for the glory of God. It is God with us that distinguishes us from all other people on the face of the earth. Because we are one, because we are kept people, Jesus prayed, keep those whom you have given me. Because we are kept people, we are therefore united in spirit and should seek to live in the unity of the spirit that we all may be one. Let me ask you, Christian, did it even cross your mind this morning, as a member of the church, the body of Christ, did it cross your mind that you are separated from the world? That you are set apart for God and set apart from all others on the face of the earth who do not know God? Well, maybe that didn't cross your mind. But let me ask this. Do you understand that when you left your home to come here today, it is one of the signs that you are different from all the others on the face of the earth who do not know God? Can you really grasp the significance, the importance of coming together as one with brothers and sisters in Christ? I will talk to my brothers about God my Father. Brothers and sisters, they will know us by their love. That first song is Jesus speaking. I will talk to my brothers and sisters about God our Father. How can he do that if our brothers and sisters can't get out of the Church of the Holy Dume? It is so important for Christians to come together as one with brothers and sisters in Christ. It is so important. It is here we experience something of the unity in the Spirit as together we meet with God and worship him. Jesus was in our midst in the Spirit this morning singing with us. The Christian's path to victory, our path to victory in Jesus, enables us to see and understand that we are not alone. We are one. And although there are Christians all over the world, many others already with the Lord, and there are people still to become Christians, though we are many, we are one. Our unity in the Spirit doesn't mean that we're always at peace and lovey-dovey with each other. Of course there will be conflicts. Of course, we will have battles, never mind with Satan. It means we are united by the same Spirit, the Holy Spirit, who has set us apart, who makes us holy and tells us we are one. As you go through life, even in the church, as you go through life, you'll see there is so much that we just don't understand.
And the only thing we know is things don't always go the way we planned. But God has a plan. But you'll see every day that we'll never turn away when it seems all your dreams come undone. We will stand, this is brothers and sisters, we will stand by your side, filled with hope and filled with pride, hopefully not too much pride. We are more than we are one. Even those who are gone, that great cloud of witnesses who are already with the Lord, even those who are gone are with us as we go on. You can nearly hear them cheering us on in our journey. Your journey has only begun. Tears of pain, tears of joy. One thing nothing can destroy is our pride deep inside. We are one. We are one, you and I. We are like the earth and sky. One family of Jesus under the sun. All the wisdom to lead, all the courage you need, you will find when you see we are one. You are not being asked to walk the path of victory alone. You have Jesus ever living to intercede for you. You have the Holy Spirit dwelling within you, and you have brothers and sisters around about you. This is why we must be committed to each other and together committed to serve the Lord to the glory of God. This is why we should never forsake meeting together, as is the habit of some, but rather we should celebrate and take our opportunities to worship the Lord and enjoy him together. We are more than we are. We are one. As a member of the Holy Universal Catholic Church, you have been called out by God to worship and serve him with your brothers and sisters in Christ. Don't be robbed of that blessing, and don't rob others of being blessed by you. God expects his people to come together and enjoy the unity in the Spirit. Now, maybe this morning there's someone here or someone listening on the podcast who's not a believer. Well, I need to say that if you're not yet a Christian, then you are not a member of the Church of Jesus. Now, you may go to church. You may attend all of the religious services that you could possibly attend. But if you are not a Christian, you are not a member of the Church of Jesus. And outside of Jesus, no one can be saved. I urge you, therefore, to agree with God that you are a sinner who needs saved, to turn from your sinful ways and call upon the name of Jesus that he might rescue you and bring you into his church. Without Jesus, there is no salvation. Without Jesus, there is no heaven for you. Let's pray. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for the truth of your word this morning, that we believe in the Holy Catholic Church. The church is holy because we are in Jesus. It's Catholic because it's universal, it's widespread. And we are a called out people, set apart to serve you together in love. We ask, Lord, that the Spirit of the living God would empower us to serve you together in love. That we would glorify you as we seek to live in the unity of the Spirit, Lord, please. We ask, Almighty God, that you would teach us your ways, enabling us to truly understand that none of us are expected to go through life, certainly not our path to victory, walking it alone. We have Jesus, who is at God's right hand, ever living to make intercession for us. We have the Spirit of God who dwells within us and comes upon us, taking a hold of us to help us. Thank you, Father, that you have given us brothers and sisters in Christ to be there with us, to support one another. Help us to do that, please. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.